Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a shit. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows the name, read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it. It's time for the truth. Here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Yeah. Listening to Haney.
All right, today I'm going to give you a little glimpse into how I teach golf if I am teaching a touring pro. Now, I have not taught a touring pro since the 2010 Masters with Tiger. That was my last tournament. Matter of fact, I haven't really given any golf lessons since then, other than to friends in my backyard and a couple charity events where I've taught, a couple outings where I've taught people at the outing. But I really haven't taught golf for quite some time, although I have not forgot how to do it. And actually, I'm contemplating starting teaching again. Actually, I need a little something to do. And I have to say that after all this time, I do miss helping people one-on-one. So I'm thinking about coming out of retirement. No touring pros, but amateur golfers. Just anybody that has a passion for the game. Thinking about doing that maybe this fall, starting probably September, October, maybe when it cools down. Maybe I'll change my mind by then, but probably won't. Anyway, I got a message, a text message from a friend of mine who was working with helping a touring pro, a senior touring pro, actually a major championship winning senior touring pro. So a very, very good player. And he asked me for his advice. Now, I get messages like this every once in a while. The friends will send me a message. Hey, what do you think of my swing? Can you give me a comment? Maybe it's a player, maybe it's a coach, maybe it's a caddy, whatever. Anybody that's looking for help or trying to help somebody would like a second opinion. I mean, this is something that happens frequently. It doesn't just happen with me. It happens with a lot of instructors. And I enjoy giving help. I enjoy helping people, enjoy helping them get better. And, I'm always willing to give a little opinion. Although it really turns into not being a little opinion. It turns into being a big opinion, because if you ask me for advice, you're not going to get just some, kind of comment back. You're going to get the full thing. You're going to get the full deal. I mean, that's just the way I do things. That's my deal. I'm going to give you, all my my thoughts. Now, it doesn't matter whether, you're teaching, if you're a golf instructor, in my opinion, it doesn't matter whether you're teaching the best player in the world or you're teaching, a relatively beginner golfer. I mean, it's all the same. It's all about fixing the big miss that person hits. Whatever your most critical miss is, if you have a critical miss, and everybody does, with a amateur golfer, it might be they slice every single tee shot, and hit balls out of bounds and in the water because of it. They may hit an occasional pull to the left, but mostly they slice to the right. With a touring pro, a top touring pro, it might be they hit one bad shot every once in a while. I mean, just one bad shot every once in a while. Now, generally speaking, when I was coaching, for 35 years on tour, I could pretty much tell what the bad shots were going to be during a round of golf. And I could tell this on the driving range before the player went out on the course. And I could also probably tell you which hole that bad shot was most likely to occur on. Maybe because of the way the hole set up, maybe because of the wind condition, maybe because I knew that that player had something, you know, bugging him about that hole. And usually that something bugging him about the hole is it didn't set up good for his miss. And, you know, a lot of times people will ask, you know, and have asked me in the past, what do you work on with touring pros? You know, they do all this right and they're so great. And how could there be anything to work on? Well, I mean, there's plenty to work on. And at that level, it's just a certain bad shot or one bad shot that can cost you the whole tournament and often does. And if you've heard me talk and you have, if you're listening to this podcast, you know that I focus in on three things, three big keys to golf: eliminating penalty shots, eliminating two chips, and eliminating three putts. And at a professional level, if you add up the total of those three categories that I just listed, and it equals more than two, the chances that that player is going to win the tournament, whatever tournament it is very, very, very highly unlikely. So it can just be one miss, just one bad shot that goes out of bounds, that goes in the water, you know, a stroke and distance penalty, whatever, and that can cost the player a tournament. So it's not like the pro is missing shots all the time, but it's the big miss. It's the one bad shot that hurts him, and everybody has it. Every person who stands up on a tee is more likely to miss one way or the other. That's just the fact. Now, some people, amateur golfers, have a hard time answering the question sometimes when I say, where do you miss the ball? They go, oh, Hank, I hit it everywhere. And, you know, then I said, well, let me watch you hit a couple, and then I watch them hit, and it's clear that they slice the ball, or it's clear that they hook the ball. But you have to have a diagnosis before you can make a plan. And the diagnosis in golf and improving at golf, and it starts with where you hit the golf ball, where your bad miss goes. Where do you, what shot are you most likely to hit as a bad miss? And you can further analyze it based on the fact that there's a certain shot that you can't hit, or there's a certain shot that you hit easier than the other shot. Or there's a shot that you would shy away from. You know, these are just different ways of rephrasing the same comment, and that is, where is your big miss? You know, I base all my instruction off of the fact that ideally, in a perfect world for a golfer, you would be able to play the nine shots. And the nine shots are a straight ball, low, medium, and high trajectory. You can hit those three shots. And then a shot that curves right to left, where the ball starts to the right of the target and curves back to the target, but not past the target. So you're curving it back to the target, starting it right and curving it back to the target, but not past the target, and low, medium, and high with those three shots. And then the ball that starts to the left of your target curves back to the target, but not past the target, low, medium, and high. For touring pros, they can hit pretty much all those shots, but that doesn't mean they can hit them all with equal ease. That doesn't mean they can hit them all under pressure with equal ease. And one of the ways that I will kind of analyze a player's game, a player's swing, is let's say they're standing behind a tree. There's a tree in your way. You've got to hit the ball on around the tree and onto the green. Okay? And you don't have any wind blowing. The lie is level. You're right behind the tree. And, you know, you're hitting a club that's kind of, you know, just as easy to curve one way as the other, okay? Because obviously it's easier to hook a short iron, and it's easier to you know, fade a longer club, but let's just say you've got a club on this shot that you could hit either shot. You're right behind the tree, and you could either hook it around or you could fade it around. And which shot would you pick under pressure for all the tea in China? Which shot would you pick? You know, this is the way that I word it when people say I don't have a miss. I'm like, well, everybody has a miss. But if I said, do you hook it? No. Do you fade it? No. You know, I hit it pretty straight. Okay. How about this? If you had a tree in front of you and you could play around the tree either to the right or to the left, which way would you pick to curve it around the tree? Now, if your answer to that question is, Hank, I'm equally good at both, I would just flip a coin because either one I could play. Okay, if you answer it that way, then your swing is 100% dead neutral. And all I can say to that is if you're in that position, make sure you enjoy it because it is only temporary. Every player who plays the game is going to find it easier to draw the ball or to fade the ball. They're going to find it easier to hit a low ball or a high ball. It's just the way it is. And you cherish the moments if you're a great, great player, a touring pro. I mean, if you're the greatest player in the world, you still cherish the moments that you can hit all the shots with equal ease. Tiger used to call me up and say, Hank, I've got my draws going great. I'm not hitting my fades as good. Or he'd say, I'm hitting my low balls good, but I can't get the ball up in the air as well. My low fades are good, but I can't get my high fades going. My low draws are good, but I can't get my high draws going. Whatever it might be, everybody's golf swing kind of moves on a pendulum. It moves from one side to the other, and even when you get it, it's only temporary. It's always an adjustment. And making the adjustments is oftentimes the difference between, you know, being able to turn around a bad round, finish, a tournament strong when maybe things are slipping away. The difference between winning and losing. And it's being able to hit the different shots. And the way that you keep your golf swing in a neutral situation, meaning you can play all the shots or you don't have a big miss that you fear one way or the other, is you have to be able to hit these different shots, these nine shots. And I'll give you a great example of it. A great example was when Tiger Woods won the Open Championship at Hoy Lake. Forget what year it was, 2008 or 2009, I don't know. Yeah, probably something like that, 2007, I don't know. Anyway, the Hoy Lake, it was one of the greatest ball-striking tournaments ever. It's a tournament where he hit one driver the whole tournament, played with irons and won the tournament. The golf course was a golf course where you didn't want to curve the ball with too much of a hook. Okay, but you needed to hook the ball, you needed to draw the ball, and that was a shot pretty much that you would hit the whole tournament. It was just a draw shot. But every afternoon on the driving range, we would go to the driving range, and I would have Tiger Woods practice hitting the opposite shot, hitting the fades. And the reason for that is that I was worried that if he kept hitting hooks and he'd been hitting draws, hooks, whatever you want to call it, he'd been hitting those shots prior to the tournament to get ready for the tournament. He'd been hitting those shots during the tournament. And I thought, if we continue with this for some period of time, pretty soon that draw is going to become a hook. It's going to be too big. So how do we keep the swing in balance? How do we keep the pendulum from swinging too much to the other side? And the way that we do that is we hit the opposite shot on the practice tee, even though the golf course didn't call for that shot at all. People must have thought we're crazy. Why are they practicing that shot? I mean, why is it every afternoon he's practicing mostly all fades when you don't have to hit any fades on the golf course? Well, first off, you always have to hit some fades because if the pin's on the, you know, right-hand side of the green, you want to start the ball at the middle of the green and work it to the pin. But the main reason was is because didn't want the swing to get out of balance. Well, that's just an example at a pro level, at a high pro level, at the highest pro level, why you would want to work the golf ball. But at an amateur level, it's just eliminating your big miss. I mean, if you know, Sam Snead said it best. They asked him, I said, if you're hooking the ball, what do you do? And he said, well, I play with it on the golf course because if that's all I got to play with it. And then I go to the practice tee and for 30 minutes, I'll practice fading it. And I said, well, what do you do if you're slicing it? He said, I play with it on the golf course because that's all I got that day. And then I go to the practice tee for 30 minutes and then I practice hooking it. And that there's brilliance in the simplicity of that statement because what it says is that he just practiced working the ball, hitting different shots, and that's how he kept his swing neutral. So I'm gonna continue with my story here about how I offered some advice to a friend. And but first, I want to remind you to go to HaneyUniversity.com, sign up for my free instructional videos that go out on a daily basis, and you'll get more information in those, like what you're hearing today, and it'll help you play better golf. HaneyUniversity.com. All right, so here's how it starts when someone asks me for advice. Oftentimes, they'll send me a video of their swing. Like we tell people, if you want to get better, one of the ways you can get better is send a video of your swing, your personal swing, just on your iPhone or whatever, to golfschools@hankhaney.com. And either the great predictor Steve Johnson or one of my other great instructors will analyze it for you for absolutely free. They'll send you back a video and tell you what you need to work on in your swing. Kind of give you a little bit of an idea what your plan should be to try and improve. Okay. But when you send in that video, you want to take a picture of the video from down the line. I mean, I'd like it to be from one from each angle, one from the side, one from down the line. But the most important angle, if you're going to just do one video, would be down the line so that we can see where the swing is in relationship to where your body's aimed. We can see, even on the video, where the ball initially starts off. We can see the trajectory that the ball starts off. And, you know, based on the shape of the swing, we can tell which way and where you finish and everything else. We can tell which way the ball curves and what your most and that's the view that gives us an idea what your most likely miss is. But we also want you to describe what your bad shot is. You know, don't say it goes everywhere. That's not an answer. You got to come with a shot. And if you need help figuring out the shot, use the criteria that I set out for you at the beginning of this, you know, podcast a few minutes ago when I was talking about. Or do this. Give us an idea of where your most likely miss would go with a driver, because the driver is the straightest face club in the bag. It's the one that's most likely to curve. And that's usually an indicator of where your ball flight is. So we look at the video. And when you send in your videos, send them in and describe your big miss. Okay, make sure you do that. All right, so I got a video from a friend who's helping a touring pro, former major champion, you know, great player. And he says, could you look at this driver swing and tell me what you think? And what you think would help us get out of the right rough. I got a video of the swing. I got a bad shot. The bad shot is the shot that goes to the right. If it's a amateur golfer, most likely the swing is going to the left if it's a right-handed player, and the ball's slicing back to the right. If it's a touring pro, most likely the ball is just starting to the right and it's not coming back. So it's either starting too much right and not coming back, or it's just starting straight or relatively straight and curving to the right, But at least I know the ball, that's the miss. And it's an accurate description of the shot. Okay, give me an accurate description of the shot and a picture of the swing, a video of the swing, and that's all you need right there. That's what you need. A lot of amateurs can't do that. I don't know. I don't know why. They can't answer the simple question, where is your big miss? Now here, straight away, I got exactly what the big miss was. We're missing to the right. If you've got something to fix on your body, meaning aches and pains, arthritis pain, muscle soreness, back pain, knee pain, wrist pain, shoulder pain, try my Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. A lot of people have been taking me up on this offer. It's absolutely free. Free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. Just go to voodoopainrelief.com. And what you're going to get is a great product that works. And then you're going to do what pretty much everybody's done that's taking me up on this free offer, is they're going to see how it works and then they're going to reorder the product. And that's why I give it to you for free, because I know it's going to work. You know, why else would I do that? It's absolutely going to work and you're going to love it. So try it. VoodooPainRelief.com. All right, I'm going to continue with my instructional story here and giving you a little bit of an idea of how I coach a touring pro. And this is a long lesson. It went on over like 3 or 4 days. So I'm gonna start this today, and then I'm gonna continue it another day. And they just because there's a lot to be learned from this. A lot to be learned. When I was typing all this stuff out on my phone, I thought, you know what? I gotta explain this to people and let them understand so they can help themselves. Because that's always my goal. My goal is to help you become your own best teacher. That's my goal. That's always my goal with instruction. Help you so that you can help yourself. All right, we'll be right back. All right, my first comment when I looked at this swing was, that's the best he's ever swung. That's the best he's ever. I'm just looking at a generalization of a swing. Now, I always try to start off with something positive. I might say, the swing looks pretty good. Now, in that case, I'm probably not being totally forthright in that my scale kind of goes from great to good to pretty good. So maybe pretty good is not really so good, but I don't want to say it's terrible. But I got to come with something positive. You know, nice setup, great posture, great takeaway, nice shirt. Those are cool shoes. I don't know, something. I got to come with something. But anyway, when I saw this swing, I thought, you know what? That's the best he's ever swung. So my first goal right away is, don't tell the person anything that's going to screw up what they're doing so well. This is just some slight adjustments that need to be made, and stress that it's got to be slight adjustments. You know, the thing is in golf, you have to be able to match up all your mistakes. And everybody has something that's not perfect in their swing. So you got to match up your mistakes. And ideally, you have an even number of mistakes. Like I said, you're not going to have zero. So you have 2, 4, 6, 8. This mistake makes up for that mistake. That's 2 mistakes. That mistake makes up for this mistake. That's 4 mistakes. If you're in an even number situation, you can play great golf. Where you get in trouble is when you have an odd number of mistakes. 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, whatever. 11, 13, 15, I don't know. Maybe you got a lot of stuff wrong with your swing. But if you get in that situation where you got an odd number of mistakes, the problem is one mistake is not compensating for another mistake. And this is what happens when people make changes sometimes. Not all the time, sometimes. They make changes and they get stuck in between. You know, people say you got to get worse before you can get better. I don't agree with that. I don't think you have to get worse before you get better. Sometimes it happens. But it doesn't mean it has to happen. You can get better right away. But if you get better right away, it's when everything is evened out. You got, you know, maybe this is a little off, but this is a little off to counter it, and everything's working out just fine. And by the way, that's pretty much how everybody plays golf that plays well. They do that. So my first thought was, is that's the best he's ever swung. And then I said, okay, what kind of shot is he trying to play? Okay, so when you tell me you're missing to the right, okay, are you trying to draw the ball? Are you trying to hit it straight? Are you trying to fade it? I see the hole here, but what shot did that hole call for? Was that a fade hole? Was it a draw hole? It looks like a draw hole, but was he trying to draw it, or was he just trying to hit it straight? You know, I want to know what the thought process was, because the swing looked as if he was trying to hit it straight. And my comment was, he's kind of set up for a straight ball, not a fade or a draw. Okay. Now, if somebody is, you know, there's a little message there. If somebody is consistently hitting the ball to the right and they're a right-handed player, why wouldn't you try to draw the ball? Why wouldn't you try to draw the ball? You know, sometimes you have to try to do the opposite of what you're doing in order to create a straight shot. In other words, if you're setting up for a straight ball, but you're hitting it to the right, why not set up for a little bit of a draw and see if you can get that to go straight? Now, you got to pay attention and know that, hey, you know, my 10-yard draws are going dead straight. So that tells me right away, that tells you something, that your swing is a little bit out of balance, you know. But my thought was, the setup looks like a straight ball. And then I looked at the downswing and I said, and my next comment was, that's very good. But the downswing is slightly favoring a fade. So it looks to me like you've got a little bit of a fade bias on the downswing. What that means is that the club isn't coming too much from inside. It's borderline coming down a little steep or a little bit to the left when you're swinging through. If you swing left, if you're a right-handed player and you swing more left coming through, you're promoting a little bit of a fade. So you're set up for a straight ball, and your downswing looks like it's straight ball or slightly favoring a fade. All right. That's not the formula. That's not a formula for fixing a miss to the right. So my comment was, is that he would need to be just a little more from the inside for a slight draw, or maybe that won't produce a slight draw, but it will just produce something that isn't a miss to the right. So those were my first comments. And then I saw, you know, on the video, what I do is I look at the video and then I'll stop the video at different points to illustrate. And I stop it on my phone, and then I click a picture. So when I sent that comment about the downswing favoring a little bit of a fade, there was a picture attached to it that I had clicked by stopping the video in the downswing halfway down. And I said, this is slightly favoring a fade. Then I clicked a picture of the finish. And when I clicked the picture of the finish, it said, my comment was, the finish, and the finish had the right shoulder a little high and a little bit kind of extra through the ball, okay? And the club was pointed across his neck and the finish, not across or down the back or down the right shoulder, but across the neck. And I said, the finish position indicates that he's just a tiny bit late or ahead of it with his upper body and a little bit late squaring the club face. So that's the comment that I came with there. And then I clicked another picture and I said, look at the ball position. I said, the ball position is just slightly forward. It's not in a bad place if you're trying to hit a fade, But if you're trying to draw the ball or just not miss to the right, that ball position's a little forward. Now, that's normal because when somebody's missing to the right, what do they generally tend to do? They tend to aim to the left, or they swing to the left, or they put the ball farther forward in their stance to somehow try to avoid going to the right. But as we all know, so many things in golf are the opposite. So I told him, I said, you know, what I would do is just adjust those positions slightly and then see how it goes. I also made, you know, a comment about how he should practice. And I said, here, I would do this. Practice hitting more draws than fades on the driving range. Hit some big 6-iron hook shots, like you're starting the ball to the right and hooking it around a tree. You know, and that alone, just no conscious, I haven't told him anything to do. I remember I said, I think the swing looks the best he's ever swung. All I'm going to try to do is just see if I can change a little bit of the direction of the swing, a little bit of the angle of the plane, a little bit of the direction of the plane, the path of the swing. I'm going to try to change that without giving them a conscious thought. Just as simple as possible way you can do it. Just go on the range. He's a great player, former major championship winner. Go on the driving range and just hit some shots like you're trying to hook it around a tree. But make sure the ball starts right of the tree. Don't start it in the tree. And I wanted to see what was going to happen. I wanted to see what was going to happen. Okay. But I said that if he tries that, that should set him just a little more from the inside and give him the feel. It would also give him the feel. It should give him the feel of staying back just a little bit with his right shoulder, right side. And that will give the club face time to catch up. And, that was my comment. I said, the swing is great. Don't change anything. I'm just giving you a little advice to change the timing of the release and the angling of the plane. And you do that by just playing a little different shot. And then let me know how that goes. So that's a little idea of my thought process and what I would tell somebody, a high-level player. Now, it got more complicated than that. Because, you know, something was going to happen. You know, either it was going to work great or, you know, it was going to be a step in the right direction or maybe it was going to, you know, not work. Who knows? But I'm going to continue this because this is a long story. So I'm going to continue this on my next podcast and talk about where it all went from there, because this is a interesting story, and hopefully you can garner something out of this story that will help your game or at least make you more aware of what you need to be thinking about when you're trying to help yourself play better golf, or make you more aware of what you need in a lesson when you go to take one. At any rate, you're going to be more educated on the golf swing and helping yourself after you listen to this and my next podcast on this same subject. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Follow me on Twitter at Hank Haney. You know, you can send swings in there and I might have a comment on your swing too. So Twitter at Hank Haney. Email your golf swings to golfschools@hankhaney.com. Email your questions to hankhaneygolf@outlook.com. And hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app so you get the podcast every day. I hope everybody has a great day. Don't worry. Don't forget about the free offers, Voodoo Pain Relief Cream at voodoopainrelief.com and my instructional videos at haneyuniversity.com. Have a great day. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.